Book 9. In the One-Eyed Giant's Cave. Odysseus, the great teller of tales, launched out on his story. Alcinous, Majesty, shining among your island people, what a fine thing it is to listen to such a bard as we have here. The man sings like a god, the crown of life, I'd say. There's nothing better than when deep joy holds sway throughout the realm, and banqueters up and down the palace sit in ranks, enthralled to hear the bard. And before them all the tables heaped with bread and meats, and drawing wine from a mixing bowl, the steward makes his rounds and keeps the wine cups flowing. This, to my mind, is the best that life can offer. But now you're set on probing the bitter pains I've borne, so I'm to weep and grieve, it seems, still more. Well then, what shall I go through first? What shall I save for last? What pains the gods have given me my share? Now let me begin by telling you my name, so you may know it well, and I, in times to come, if I can escape the fatal day, will be your host, your sworn friend, though my home is far from here. I am Odysseus, son of Laertes, known to the world for every kind of craft. My fame has reached the skies. Sunny Ithaca is my home. Atop her stands our sea mark, Mount Neriton's leafy ridges, shimmering in the wind. Around her a ring of islands circled side by side, Dulichian, Sami, wooded Zacynthus too, but mine lies low and away, the farthest out to sea, rearing into the western dusk while the others face the east and breaking day. Mine is a rugged land, but good for raising sons, and I myself, I know no sweeter sight on earth than a man's own native country. True enough, Calypso, the lustrous goddess, tried to hold me back, deep in her arching caverns, craving me for a husband. So did Circe, holding me just as warmly in her halls, the bewitching queen of Aeaea, keen to have me too. But they never won the heart inside me, never. So nothing is as sweet as a man's own country, his own parents, even though he's settled down in some luxurious house off in a foreign land and far from those who bore him. No more. Come, let me tell you about the voyage fraught with hardship Zeus inflicted on me, homeward bound from Troy. The wind drove me out of Ilium onto Ismarus, the Ciconi's stronghold. There I sacked the city. Killed the men, but as for the wives and plunder, that rich haul we dragged away from the place. We shared it round, so no one, not on my account, would go deprived of his fair share of spoils. Then I urged them to cut and run, set sail, but would they listen? Not those mutinous fools. There was too much wine to swill, too many sheep to slaughter down along the beach, and shambling long-horned cattle. And all the while, the Ciconis sought out other Ciconis, called for help from their neighbours living inland, a larger force, and stronger soldiers too, skilled hands at fighting men from chariots, skilled when a crisis broke to fight on foot. Out of the morning mist they came against us, packed as the leaves and spears that flower forth in spring, and Zeus presented us with disaster, me and my comrades doomed to suffer blow on mortal blow. Lining up, both armies battled it out against our swift ships, both raked each other with hurtling bronze lances. Long as morning rose and the blessed day grew stronger, we stood and fought them off, massed as they were. But then, when the sun wheeled past the hour for unyoking oxen, the Ciconis broke our lines and beat us down at last. Out of each ship, 6 men-at-arms were killed. The rest of us rode away from certain doom. From there we sailed on, glad to escape our death, yet sick at heart for the dear companions we had lost. But I would not let our rolling ship set sail until the crews had raised the triple cry, saluting each poor comrade cut down by the fierce Ciconis on that plain. Now Zeus, who masses the storm clouds, hit the fleet with a north wind, a howling, demonic gale shrouding over in thunderheads the earth and sea at once, and night swept down from the sky, and the ships went plunging headlong on, our sails slashed to rags by the hurricane's blast. We struck them, cringing at death, we rowed our ships to the nearest shoreline, pulled with all our power. There for 2 nights, 2 days, we lay by, no let-up, eating our hearts out, bent